Vayakel Pkudei. Ladies and gentlemen. So first, few things about this week. This week we have we're reading two parashot. We're having Shabbat here. And we're going to have also Shabbat Parah. It's called the Shabbat of the Red Heifer, which we know there is four Shabbatot before Passover, where there is special Shabbat, okay? Like before Purim or Zachor. So the Red Heifer, we're going to read about it and try to understand a little bit what's going on. Vayakel Pkudei is a heavy-duty Zohar, as you can see. A lot of secret. Most secret is here. All right? And if you want to know about every single angel, you find it in Pkudei. That's why every secret about each single angel, what they do, how they behave, but you have to invest time to read it. So more you read, more you're going to know which angel is involved with what action. So let's go to Vayakel Pkudei. I'm going to skip it, then we're going to go to the Red Heifer. Then we're going to get going. We're going to start with the Torah on verse 222. You can see it well. You can see it well. All right. Please.
The holy nation should fix and prepare on that day as well as other days when the Torah scroll is read. A throne to become a reader's desk. That throne must have six steps. The sixth three row of Malchut leading to it and no more, as it is written. And there were six steps to the throne, which alludes to Malchut, and this there is only one step above that refers to Chokhmah of Malchut, the reader's desk, to put on it the Torah scroll and show it to everyone. Because the reader's desk, the secret of Chokhmah of Malchut, enables the Torah scroll to be seen. That is the secret of Zeranpin, for sight is available only in Malchut.
So there is a system, basically. And you're all seeing it, but sometimes we don't know why. When the Torah leave the ark and travel into the table where we're reading it, there is a system. It's a very serious moment. At that moment, basically, we are activating all the energy that we're going to need for the rest of the week. Sometimes we're just busy with the lecture or with the reading of the Torah, but we need to understand the opening of the ark and when the Torah, what it says, Chokhmah of Malchut, again with the word Chokhmah. Chokhmah is the main light coming from above to below. If you study TLE, you understand it's the light that we bring in, light or the Chokhmah, is the most amount of light. Let's continue and it will be clear.
When the Torah scroll is put there, the whole people should make themselves ready down below with awe and fear, quaking and trembling to meditate in their heart as if they were standing now beneath Mount Sinai to receive the Torah. They should listen and lend their ears. For the people are not permitted to open their mouths even to discuss the Torah, not to mention other matters. But they are all in awe, as one is who is speechless. And we already explained it in relation to the words, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the Torah.
So, you know, it's fun being together and celebrate the Shabbat, doing the reading of the Torah, and doing the opening of the Ark, better to be silent from the connection. Okay, I think that's clear. Let's continue.
Rabbi Shimon said that when the Torah scroll is brought out to be read in public, the heavenly gates of mercy open and stir the love of above. Then what should thus pray?
So now what we're going to read is Berich Shemeh in English, so you know what it means. So when you read Berich Shemeh, now you know what it means, right? We're saying it when we're opening the ark, right? Berich Shemeh, right? Now you're going to see, we invented Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that you're supposed to say it before. And it's not in Hebrew, it's in Aramaic. It's important to know what we say, right? All right, go ahead.
Blessed by the name of the Master of the Universe, blessed be your crown and your place. May your good will be with your people, Yisrael, forever, and the redemption of your right hand be shown to your people in your temple. May you bestow on us the bounty of your light and accept our prayers and mercy. May it please you that you shall lengthen our lives in goodness and that I, your servant, shall be remembered among the righteous. So as to have mercy upon me and safeguard me and all that is mine and that of your people Israel. You are the giver of nourishment and sustenance for all. You rule over all. You rule over kings, and the kingdom is yours. I am the servant of the Holy One, blessed be He. Before Him I bow, and before the majesty of His Torah at all times. Not upon man do I put my trust, nor upon angels do I rely, but only upon Elohim in heaven, that is the Elohim of truth, and whose Torah is truth, and whose prophets are true, that acts with much kindness and truth. In Him do I put my trust, and to His holy and precious name do I sing praises. May it be Your will to open my heart to Your Torah, and to grant me male children to do Your wish, and may You fill proper requests of my heart and the heart of all Your people, Yisrael, for good and life and peace. Amen.
Can you imagine we sang it every Shabbat? We never really say it in English. You know, it's even beautiful in English, I think, no? Yeah. It's even like gorgeous even in English. Like, to know what Berich Shemeh mean. This is Berich Shemeh. But there is something here. It say, I'm not trusting human. I'm trusting You. So, I don't know if you ever read the book, The Secret. And they write there about money. And they say, if you keep saying that if I work hard and many hours, I will have more money, that's a wrong concept of how you should look at life. You shouldn't look at life like that. So the book, The Secret, explains that you should understand that the money is already either here or it's potential waiting for you. So there is a menu to the universe, and you have to dial in and get the money. But once you say, I have to work hard to get it, you're actually blocking your success, because then you trust human. And the idea is to trust that the Creator, the Divine, have everything for you already. But there is a certain change that required for me to do in my behavior, in how I do things. And maybe I don't do enough. Or maybe I do too much and it's become fanatic. I have to find the balance. What is it I need to do? And those of you who have doubts why He said, give me boys, not girls. Because the idea of boys, that boys serve in the holiness, like the priest and the Levite, that used to be the job. So the idea is, like, God, I want you to give boys, not because I want them, because I want you to take them, so they can serve You. It's very phenomenal. You have a question on that? I think it's quite clear, right? We can build up that subject later.
Only one person is allowed to read the Torah, and everyone else are to listen in silence, to hear the words of His mouth as if they were now receiving it on Mount Sinai. There should be one person standing next to the reader that was called up to the reading, and he must be silent so that only one speech is heard and not two. There should be one who reads in the holy tongue, not two, because if two read the Torah, it would diminish the secret of the faith, and the majesty of the Torah is reduced. It is essential to have only one voice. There also should be one translator in the secret of the shell and the fruit, because the translator is considered the shell, and the reader in the holy tongue alludes to the fruit. There is no fruit without a shell.
So, as you can see, usually when somebody read the Torah, they show them like that, like this, like that. This is called the ta'amim. This is called the sound of the words, or the sound of whatever, how you need to say it. It's very important. Very important. So when they doing that, they are the shell, and the person reader is the brain, is the one manifested to everybody. So the idea, and that's why those of you come to us for Shabbat, my children reading, so they have to wake up early in the morning, 6:30, they have to walk all the way to the mikveh and come back. Why? Because they're channeling the Torah to you, to the people. And without them cleaning that pipe of energy, you're not going to get the energy right. So many people go into different places, which is very nice. And I always ask, you know, I'm getting involved in different places. So, the guy doing mikveh, then, you know, so... But mikveh is not the only thing. The person has to know that he's a channel for the others, because if they don't think they're a channel for the others, it becomes just nice reading. Many people have great voice, but it doesn't mean that they have the great attention to make sure that whoever's in the crowd, if they're sick, will be healthy. If they're looking for partner, they will find. If they need money, they will find. If there is something that might happen to them this week, you'll be taken care of everything. Okay? So I just want to start with that. And then I'm going to go back to the beginning and share with you about the red heifer. And this is the red heifer from Pikudei, Debbie? No, it's Pikudei. So let's read from Pikudei. And the next subject is a little bit deep. Okay, so we're going to do the best we can to explain it, you know, so it will be clear for everybody, okay? So let's go step by step. We're going into a deep ocean to explain the name of this Shabbat called the Red Heifer Shabbat. So let's read it slowly so we can understand. It's very deep again. Go ahead.
Rabbi Abba said to him, "But the red heifer is pure. Why then compare it to the calf and the lamb, which the Egyptians worshipped? And why will its burning subdue the aspects of uncleanliness?" He told them, "It is so."
Is the question clear? Because the red heifer, we compare it to the golden calf, and we compare it to the worship that the Egyptian did toward an animal, that it is a cow and the family. So they in Egypt, the cow was very holy, like in India. That's why I say sometimes maybe India is the real Egypt. You know, sometimes I'm asking myself, but just to understand what the question he asked. Okay, is that clear? Yes, right.
He told him, "It is so that the heifer alludes also to their side, as explained that the heifer is comprised of the four kingdoms. A heifer is as written, 'For Yisrael is stubborn like a stubborn heifer.' Red alludes to the kingdom of Babylon, as it is written, 'You are the head of gold,' gold being red. Faultless is the kingdom of Media. It is without blemish, referring to the Greek kingdom, upon which never came a yoke, alludes to the kingdom of Edom, which was never under any yoke." The secret meaning is that though this verse was given several explanations, they all pertain to the same mystery.
Okay, so let's see what God tells Moses. He said, "I want you to find a red heifer. We're going to go step by step. And it has to be red, okay? It has to be, how do you use the word tmima? Tmima? Where is it? Malchut? Where is that? What is a tmima? Tmima can be gold being red. Without blemish. Before without blemish. What is it? Huh?
Faultless,
without blemish, and no yoke. So we're talking about few category of a problem. I would like to relate into the last one. It has to do with galut, exile of Edom. Edom is the exile we are in right now. We are in the last exile. It's called Edom. And Edom, we don't know where it is today. What is Edom? Edom comes from the word Adom. Adom means red. So is Rouge, could be Russia. Rouge, Russia, but we don't know. Because it says that the last exile will end up in the northern part of Israel, where Syria is today. So we don't know how things are going to end there. We don't know. But I'm sharing with you information. But listen to what he said. It say it was no yoke. Everybody know the yoke there. You know what you put on the cow? You know what it is? When you, in the old days, if you want to make your field, you take two bull and you put the yoke on the neck and they carry the wagon or whatever it is. Okay? It's called a yoke. Is this clear? Not egg yoke. Okay? So, in Hebrew, it's called Ol. What's the problem of our exile right now? Do you see people being chased to change spiritually? If not, they will be killed? No problem. The exile is having no pressure. You don't have to change in this exile. It's the only exile that there is no force that coming from outside and force you to become spiritual. You don't have to become spiritual, the opposite. So it's considered the worst exile. Why? Because in this exile, there is no pressure, no need for a change. Is that clear? So it's called lack of yoke. People don't take the responsibility. People don't look for what they're going to reflect on others. I had a meeting today in Beverly. They have a nice fish kosher restaurant. And a person testing me to see if I'm a real psychic. He met me 1.5 years ago. So I said to him, you have a big mission here. If I have a big mission, you tell me what you told me last time. I'm testing you. I'm writing it on the phone. And then we see if you repeat it. And I'm not telling him. And he's getting so upset that people are listening. And I'm smiling. And he looked at me like that. He stopped talking. And I'm looking at him like that. He said, why can't you just tell me not waste 20 minutes and just tell me now we'll be happy and we go home? And I said, because all your life looked like that. You try to get whatever you want, you're ready to pay for it, and just get what you want, and then get rid of the person who just answered your question like a cigarette, a used cigarette, and goodbye. That's how your life looked like, I say. And I said to him, you want me to get loud? Yeah, no fear of eyes or loud. He looked at me and didn't know I have that side. So, I said, why can't you tell me? And then, on the way out, he told me what I told him. I said, that's not your purpose in life. That's your tikkun. He said, it's not the same. I said, no. Tikkun is what prevents you to achieve your life goal. Some tikkun is jealousy. Some tikkun is addiction. Some tikkun is severe anger. And that's the worst. Some tikkun is control. Every person have a different tikkunim. Those are preventing you from your life purpose. Tell them your life. I say, so, okay, can you tell me your life purpose? I say, absolutely not. I say, but it's not nice. It's not nice. I say, I know. I hope you remember me as not nice and you keep coming to study and you keep coming to change. What's the purpose of me telling you goodbye? Come, invest. People don't want yoke. People don't want yoke. People don't hear what's wrong with them. And what's right with them? And this. Somebody tell you what's wrong with you? Ego. Somebody tell you what's right with you? Ego. Only ego. It's all bananas of ego. What if I tell you your life purpose? You're supposed to build 5 schools. Now you're going to talk to me about your sex addiction? I don't have time for that. This is go to therapist and fix it. You want to talk to me about your jealousy issue? I don't have time for that. We have 5 schools. I'd have to serve 750 kids. What about your goal? That's your life purpose. Working on my tikkun? What is tikkun? One thing that's preventing you to get there. So you're going to sit and work on your tikkun. Like many people I know in this neighborhood that work on their tikkun. And nothing going on. Nothing. What is my lifetime? How many lifetimes have I been here? Is my rising sign is this? Is my mid-heaven is this? So what? What is your tikkun? What are you doing? What are you doing? Not tikkun. What are you doing with that? You have to have a goal. A goal. A goal has to do with reflection on other people. But people don't take the yoke. I have anger issue. I have this issue. Bravo. You discover what's wrong with you. Why do you want me to talk to you about it? Why? Come to me. Say, Eliyahu, in 5 years, I want to build this. Tell me, by looking at me, what prevented. Oh, now we're talking about tikkun. But don't come to me talk about tikkun. What's the purpose? Okay, you have anger issue. What are you going to do? I'm working on my anger issue. How wonderful. People are dying while you work on your anger issue. That's a rehab. People go 12 step, do it, don't land yet, and nothing happened in the end. They just stop drugs. But they don't become better. You have to have a goal. If you don't have a goal, what you're going to do for this universe, working on yourself become the most selfish agenda you can ever have. And that's because we are in the exile of Edom, the exile of, we don't want to accept any responsibility. We don't want to hold ourselves accountable for our action. It's very serious, guys. Very serious. Very serious. Do you think that by next week, your goal will be to bring one person each? Or you're going to say, Eliyahu lecture helped me so much to know I have jealousy. Bravo. Bravo. Now what? Next week, Eliyahu lecture helped me to know I have control issue. Whoa! How does this universe get better because of that? It doesn't. I mean, you have one person behaving better. Yeah. What about all the thousands of people around you? What about them? We are like one person. It's a drop in the ocean. You got to reach out to people. Spiritual goal is the one thing, the spiritual goal. Gathering more people. That's the only spiritual goal a human being needs to have, not working on myself. Gathering more people, helping more people. Discover what's disturbing them. Yes, but what's the goal? And if you don't know what's your goal, it's like you're living, working on yourself. And unfortunately, there's many people who misleading people to believe, to make them, because it sounds good. It's great. Feeding the ego, great. I will tell you what's wrong with you. You're going to work on that. We have codependency. You love me for telling you. I love you for listening to me. Oh, we have student-teacher relationship. And here we develop something called teacher and student, a guru and a follower. Nothing is happening. What are you doing? The paraduma, the red effort, is to clear your eyes so you will be able to see what you came here to do. But you not came here to do just to work on yourself. Stay away from this addiction. Stay away from just working on the anger. Because once you do that, you're only busy with one person, yourself. And that's why you see a lot of people separate. After they join spiritual group, religious group, they just separate. Why they separate? Because one side is fanatic. The other side, look at their father. Well, what happened to you? What happened? Huh? Working on my anger. And they say, no, work on your anger quietly. It's my famous story from Laguna Beach here when I gave a lecture. Everybody knows that story. A man who found the vegan food. I'm talking about many years ago, 15 years ago. He discovered also that it's better to breathe with a machine in California. So you have this mask. So he bought his own refrigerator in the house with a lock. He have all kinds of things there. He has things that he grow and he eat them later. It's not the refrigerator. He made soap to wash his body. Unbelievable. Problem he has, because he reached out to me many years ago, his wife smoking. And the last cigarette that she smoked is in bed when he's not protected. And this is a real story. Newport Beach, not Laguna, Newport Beach. So when you gave the lecture about the evil inclination, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, he said, wow, my wife is it. Everybody say, why? So we study more. And as he studied more, that he need to work on himself, I met with him. His wife came to the next lecture. Everybody thought that's the lover, because he was talking so bad about her. Where I help him, I said to him to say one verse, one simple verse. I said, honey, if you want to smoke, smoke. Oh, by the way, she used to blow the last smoke in his face.
Oh, jeez.
The reason I remember this story, today I played tennis in Palmer Park, I think it's called, I don't know how to say it, Palmer Park, in Santa Monica Boulevard, and it's called West Hollywood area. So, as I'm about to serve the ball, these two people smoking behind me in tennis court, smoking. And I want to tell them, hey, come on, it's not fair. And then I remember that story. So I told him, go to your wife, tell her, honey, if you want to smoke, smoke. But I'm really worried about your health. If there is anything I can do, let me know. And he went to sleep. She woke him up with tears. She quit smoking. And she says she never felt something from her husband toward her like what they say. What is this story? Many times we work on ourselves. We become spiritual, become Kabbalist, guru, fanatic Christian, fanatic Jew, Muslim. But we forget about, and there is a human being next to you. And that's your life purpose of every human being. Everybody will do it in a different shape. Some is a lawyer. Some is serving pizza. Some is flipping hamburger. Or now there is no more flipping. They've invented a new robot. You saw it. They have a new robot that do the flipping. Everybody has a job. Serve people. When you serve them, you have to think about how can I make it better for the human being. Once you think like that, that's your life purpose. That's your life purpose. The tikkun, it's what's disturbing you to get there. So don't work on the tikkun. Work on the end result. The end result is helping human being. You know, why am I always happy when you bring a friend with you, a new person, for tonight class? Why am I so happy? Because you're making your tikkunim. That's how you work on yourself. You have to work on yourself. I remember when I went one time, I want to study the deepest side of Kabbalah. And I realized something that it's written in the laws of spirituality. That until you're not helping 10 people to understand what you understand, you can never understand the real depth of the book you're reading. What did I do? And my teacher stopped me. I went to all the fanatic religious community. They would never look at me. Knock door to door. Nobody would do that. And my teacher told me, you know, it's crazy. But if you believe in it, and I make sure they're all going to get Zohar, and they're all going to start studying. And the argument with them for 2 hours sometimes. One of the scene that I didn't know who was watching me, it was another teacher watching me what I'm doing. I went to a huge school of rabbis, went in, and I stopped the class in the middle. And they look at me like, it's nuts, they can beat you up. As I was the rabbi here. Who is the rabbi? Oh, crazy. I was so crazy, my God. You sit down. I start talking to him. So what are you doing? Study this, this. Let me show you what the books say about what you do. Da, da. So the rabbi take me aside and say, listen, you're very good. I agree. Say, so the, not Kabbalah. I took him to the Talmud. So the Talmud said, if you study for 3 years, 5 years, da, da, from Rav Ashlag. He told me, okay, I want to start. I don't have money. Free. It's yours. I pay for you. He was so impressed. Say, okay, can I invite you to my house? So of course, coming to your house. And I'm going to his house. Say, I will be there 2 hours with the books. I'm arriving with the books. The person preparing dinner for me, he called all his family. And they have many children, 12 children, grandchildren. And they're all crying. I said, guys, you don't have to pay. Say, I have to pay. I have to pay. And he held my hand and said, I want to dance with you for bringing Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai into my house. And I didn't know one of the children was watching me. So I'm dancing with him, like really dance, like Purim. And the beauty of it, my dear friend, is how he helped me. I took 10 people that I would be able to pass on Kabbalah and Zohar. And because of that, my wisdom started to be open. If you don't help enough people that will study because of you, and I always tell people 10, because 10 is sefirot. So you have to count. Today I help Keter. Today I help Chokhmah. And they have to stay. You have to make sure they're coming. Like in the beginning, what I did in Jerusalem, I paid 10 people to come. I had money, so I paid for the hotel for them, invited them for Shabbat, invited them for everything, but they ran away in the middle. It's 10 friends of mine. Yeah, then I did some other tricks. Those tricks don't work. The one thing, they need to study, and you need to be the cause of that. So when I bring them, let's say if I would be a student like you, I bring a person, I'm not even listening to the lecture. I'm care that they will get it. That's it. And that's my keter. Then I'm going after another person, chokhmah. And once they're good, I'm going to the next person. But it's really, then when you have the 10 people, you can relax, and then you can study. Where do we learn it from? With the yoke. How you take it there? Moses has a follower named Joshua. Eliyahu Navi, Elisha the prophet, we read about him this week, as a follower, Elisha. He went to his grave under, in the church, if you remember, the Haifa. When you start serving, not study, then the study going in to you by itself. It's written, Gadol Shibusho Milimudo. It's greater to do the act than to study. So how is the study going to get in? Automatically. I don't need to tell you how much I serve my teacher physically. You know, I mean, most of you don't know. That's how I get all my secret. I mean, where do you find a person who walk into company and read 40 people, what's going on, and solve the problem in about half an hour? It's huge. It's a gift. I used to go with my teacher to different stock market area. You know, we go to different places and we start helping different firm of lawyer and firm of banking. Very famous. And step by step, we're helping. So that kind of thing, you serve, get all the sicker. That's the yoke. That people in our generation, because of religion and spirituality, was abused. The name Kabbalah was abused. The name of spirituality was abused. The name of religion, abused. The name of God, been abused. The name of guru, been abused. People don't trust. I'm even afraid to say I'm a spiritual leader or I'm a spiritual coach. You know, I say consulting. Today, by mistake, in a tennis game, I say, what do you do? I say, I'm a spiritual consulting. You heard spiritual? Okay, let's continue the game. What happened? The abuse that's happening around that. The disaster. So the people who are ready to put the yoke no longer want to do that. Who's responsible? The guru, the teacher, the mentor, the rabbi. Until we not unleash. And also on my website, soon you're going to see that. That everyone who start teaching, everyone who start teaching, and I will guide the people. I said, okay, what do you want to teach? Let's do it. Then I would not trust in our days anybody. But when I see that the students start teaching, the students start sharing, it's beautiful because we want to help the world. But you have to take care of people. You cannot sit, I don't know anybody. You have to know one human being, one soul that you can help. So continue. Next subject, please.
We have studied the verse, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. The secret of this verse is that the red heifer is a clean thing brought out of an unclean, because at first she was unclean, including the four said kingdoms. Now that judgment was executed on her and she was cremated by burning fire to become ashes, she is clean. She is a clean thing out of an unclean, a clean thing brought out of an unclean.
So the cow, like we remember, was for exile, was totally impure. By burning it, which is fire, is red, which is fire, is left column, that thing convert the cow, when you do the cremation of the cow, into a purification, meaning the dead powder, the dead ashes that use toward somebody who act in an evil way to become righteous. Almost like mikveh. And how powerful it is. And you continue, please.
Hence, all of those busy themselves with her became defiled because she was unholy. And though she turned into ashes, yet before being gathered and taken away, she defiles them all. And so it is written, and he that gathers shall wash his clothes and be unclean. Why did she have to become ashes? It resembles the verse, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. For when water was sprinkled upon the ashes, they became a clean thing out of an unclean.
So in our day, we don't have red heifer anymore. We don't have. The reason that red heifer don't exist until the temple will be built. What is the temple? The temple is basically the masach, the curtain, that reflect all the light back. Because the light hit exactly where the temple mount is, and it need to hit back. Or yashar or chozer. But because that pipe was holding by the klipot, the light cannot come down, so the light cannot go up. Sad, I said. Very sad. So we can even have 1 million people, it's not enough. Because if we have 1 million people, would I still tell you, you have to bring more people? You have to bring more people, of course. Of course, we have to reach out. We have to reach out. You cannot sit still. And you have to take care that that person come with you. It's not enough that I brought them one time. No, it's not sample taste. They have to come with you religiously for you. Otherwise, you don't get the help you need. You don't get the help. It's not about them. They are your messenger to help you. You know, by helping someone, reflect on you. So you reflect on them. Reflect. So Oria Sharokhoza, Oria Sharokhoza. Once they're good, they have their tikkun with that 10 people. You know, they have their tikkun. Some people have to bring 10,000 people. Depends on the neshama. Depends on the soul. If your soul comes from a very high place, responsibility is tough. You have to take care of more people. If your soul, it's called flower, it's only a flower. It's flower, branches, leaves, trunk, and roots. If you're roots, you have to bring a lot of people. If you're just a flower, 10 is the minimum. My son just read to me that everybody's in charge of 10,000 people. I said, no, it can't be, can't be. I have to look for another book. It's too much, too much, too much. I say, we are in a group of 10,000. We have 10,000 in each group. In your group, there's 10,000. Can you imagine? 10,000. So when you find them, that's your tribe. Everybody has a tribe, soul tribe. One day I will reveal that to you. So the soul tribe is the way we save the world. But you gotta find your tribe. That's why there is a sense of belonging to community. You have a sense, but you don't know where you are. But once you're bringing 10 people that are capable to stay with you, that's a part of your tribe. And you help them. And then they have to help others. And that's how you grow. For me, it's a phenomenon. I just love it. Because to bring the Messiah, it's easy. It's a system. It's a system that everybody need to teach and everybody need to help. You're not a good teacher, it's okay to. Don't worry about it. But you need to share information. So you take from every class that I teach, 3 points. And the 3 points you have to share in a way that sound fanatic. If they don't like it, it's your fault. Something is wrong with you. You have to be more assertive. I don't know if you know the word assertive. Anybody heard the word assertive? Oh, yeah. You heard it? It's from the 70s, right?
Very assertive.
Huh? Yeah. It's not big today. Nobody say this word today. It bothered me.
I do every day.
I used to study it 22 years ago, but I mentioned it the last 2 weeks to a few people. So then I have to pull some books from Amazon, say, hey, this thing exists. And it's a good thing. Read some books. And I'm very happy with people reading it. I'm really happy. You know? And that's bad. I don't want to talk about it because I want people really to read those type of books because it helps. So again, the whole idea here, the impure become pure, the pure become impure. The one who do the process of the red heifer, you need to be pure when he's dealing with it, become impure. because it touched the four kingdoms. No yoke, no responsibility, idol worship, all of those things, until he make it pure for another human being. So this person is impure. So the one who go to purify somebody else, he become impure, and the one who purified become pure. What is the significance of it? Let's say next week each one of you come with 10 people. What are you going to do with the ego? So the pure become impure. Because you help 10 people. The ego get in. But the truth of the matter, now you are impure. The one person who believe he doesn't even deserve to come, but because you invite them, they are here, they become pure because of you. It's a deep things, guys. The red effort, without you hear the reading, this Shabbat, you can get the purification before Passover. That's why it's always before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Not this weekend. Next weekend is the beginning of the month of Aries. Notice, everybody have to shut up in the month of Nisan. Just shut up. People ask me, can you give us advice for this month? What to do? Working my ego? I say, yeah, shut up. I say, can you give us a better advice? Shut up. I love when people ask me about it. Shut up for 14 days. Don't even say a word. I have a privilege when my first Kabbalistic Passover, my teacher invited me to his table. And he put me here, so whatever I do, you do with me. And I look around, so you know, I'm new into it, you show me. Maybe the guy behind me, I'm not yet. So no, you, I want you in my temple. So I saw all the secrets. I mean, 10 years ago, everything. Why me? I don't know. They said, Rav Brandwein told my teacher to choose me, so okay, I'm there. Imagine Israeli, you know. Ask a lot of stupid questions too. So, Red Effort, this week, guys, work on yourself. That whatever you're proud of, turn it into action. Whatever you're not proud of that you do, keep it there because waiting for somebody to purify that part. We all do things that we're not very proud of, right? We all have issues. Like somebody in the synagogue come and told me there is no, never will be a complete tzaddik on this planet. I said to him, if you base it on the verse, en tzaddik asher ya'aseh tov ba'aretz velo yecheta, if you base it on the verse, there is no righteous person who will do righteousness on the land that they will never commit a sin. The verse is true, but there is many righteous. Just sometimes there is righteous who act in the wrong way. There is better righteous who act in the wrong way than a bad person who act in a good way. And to know the difference, you need to be very talented. Most of us think when we see people do bad, they are righteous to a mistake. A lot of time, it's a bad person who actually do good thing, but you don't see that it's a bad person. There's a joke. I heard it 28 years ago and finally it came to my mind. I think I can tell it well. Somebody had a decision if to go to heaven or to go to hell. So he go to heaven, see an old man with the most beautiful young woman. Okay? He go to hell. You see an old man with the most beautiful, gorgeous young woman. I said, look at the angel. What's happening? I said, well, in heaven, the young woman is the reward of the old man. In hell, the old man is the punishment of the young woman. So there is what we call point of view. I love that. I was so happy I remember it today. I don't even know where. I said, wow, God, thank you. I was looking for this joke for so many years. I said, it used to be something about it, but I couldn't. I was so happy. I was dancing from happiness when I found out that I remember the joke. Because sometimes you forget and it comes back to you. You don't even know why. Let's talk about just one little subject.
At the end of Shabbat, Malchut lets out those luminaires of fire, each and every one, as if they were created anew at that moment. They all come out and are created in the beginning and are assigned to their place to rule. The candle is then blessed and you bow before it and shine. This is the meaning of bending the fingers. Now that they shine, they are appointed to each of its place.
Those of you who never been with us in Avdalah, we always tell you to look at the candle and to look at the nails like that. You're hiding Keter, because the nails is a memory from Adam and Eve, but they only shine on Shabbat. During the week, they become part of the dark side. So you have always to take care of your nails. Women take it very seriously, take care of their hair and the nails. And this is the two part, by the way, that the klipot capture. So women know that there is something going on here, something here, but they don't know why. So for example, if there is a dirty nails, okay, it's actually the klipot start getting in. The nails is everything. So, and for example, all the dark magic is done by nails. And hair. I'm sorry to tell you this. Or black magic. Mm-hmm. They have to have nails and hair. Once they have that, you're doomed. It's very difficult to cancel that. I have different way to cancel it, but it's tough. I'm sorry to say. It's very tough. And that's what the nails. Righteous used to take the nails after they cut it, and they go outside and they burn it. Burn it. Or person can flush it down the toilet. That's okay too. But if a person leave a nails or bite a nails and throw it on the floor, it's so negative that if a pregnant woman walk over that, that child she give birth to can create problem for the child. That's how dangerous it is. And immediately the couples will start fighting in that house. Wherever there is nails on the floor, there's a fight. Now, I grew up Sephardic Jew, and I grew up with all those traditions, I never knew why my father and mother are panicking about cutting the nails. Was like a ceremony, but I never understood what's why you all get nervous about the nails, and they will look at even for a little piece disappear, like nervous that it's all going to disappear, so it's bring fight, but they didn't know why, they couldn't explain. So the nails is important because of the time. I just want to make sure. Okay, here it's good. To 68.
This is the secret meaning of the fingernails at the back of the fingers, which is the secret of the luminaries of fire. And the fingers themselves are the inside of the hand, the secret of the luminaries of light. He explains that the fingernails and the back of the fingers are considered outer countenance that need to shine from within the candle, Malchut, which face is named Ahorayim.
Nice.
The fingers inside the hand without the nails are the inner countenance that is covered because there is no sight, chokhmah, in them. This is the secret of the verse, and you shall see my back. For my back alludes to the nails at the back of the fingers, but my face shall not be seen refers to the fingers on the inside of the hand, the part without nails, the inner countenance.
Okay, I know it's complicated, but you have... This is Ahorayim, this is the back, this is the inside. Plimi, inside. By the way, one day I will teach how to read faces of hand, you'll understand how to look at the hand. You know, I need to look at the hand from here, and then very easy to tell the health and everything. So the nails, we have Ahorayim, the back of the nails, right? So we don't do like this. Many people in the other synagogue do this, do that, but you have to do it that way. So you need to see in every Avdalah, always you have to come here on the end of Shabbat and make sure you look at your nails through the light of the candle. Otherwise, this is the last time you're going to see the nails for that weekend shining. After Shabbat, there's no shining anymore. So you need to take the energy by looking and you're drawing that energy for the rest of the week. And if you don't do that, of course, the week will look different. So you need to know what you're doing. Now, I'm sorry that I'm skipping. Here we go. Let's make it more simple. Please.
Afterwards, the Holy One, blessed be He, made for Adam other garments from the leaves of the trees in the Garden of Eden. It is written, did Hashem Elohim make coats of skin? However, Rabbi Meir's Torah scroll had it as coats of light, for they were indeed made of leaves of the trees in the Garden of Eden that were lights. The reason for this is that at the first of his garments were made from the back of the higher garden, Malchut of Atzilut.
This is just names, you don't have to memorize them, but it's beautiful.
But now after the sin, his garments were made of the earthly garden, of the world of Asiyah, and that came from the garden. The original garments were emanating smells and perfumes of the garden by which the nefesh is calmed and gladdened. This is the meaning of the verse, and he smelled the smell of his garments, for the nefesh and ruach of Isaac were composed by that smell.
There's many stories together, so don't get confused. If you remember when Jacob come to see his father Isaac to get a blessing, he say, the smell from you is the Reach HaSadeh, like the smell of the field. What field they meant? Garden of Eden. So now you know the meaning. Now, the body of a human being used to smell good all the time, because the skin that we have is a donation from the snake. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And that's what we have. Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah. That's a donation. That's not the original, how human used to look. The only left from God creation of us is this part. Nothing else, yeah. That's why when the Kabbalists read people, health, we always look at the nails to see if the nails are okay. Unhealthy nails, unhealthy body. That's how you know. The nails are not healthy, the body is not healthy. The nails have to be very healthy all the time, okay? Have to be very healthy. So when people bite the nails, affecting the colon, for example. I'm just teaching you some secret. Anybody who bite nails, right away is problem in the stomach. Either problem in the stomach come first, that's why they bite, or first they bite, then problem in the stomach. Catch 22. If you seek it. Please.
For that reason, at the conclusion of Shabbat, we should smell spices to let the nefesh be calmed by the
great. So that's what we do, Borea Adasim, because the nefesh doesn't have any good smell on Shabbat. The nefesh feel like, wow, I'm in a garden, it's so beautiful. But then Shabbat gone. There is depression coming in. After Shabbat, there's depression. By the way, whoever do Shabbat well, 10 minutes after Shabbat, depression coming in. If you didn't do a good Shabbat, you don't get depressed at the night. If you did a good Shabbat, and you're looking to eat, you're looking to do something, to drink, to smoke, something, because you feel like you left the Garden of Eden. So the reason we do all the smell, and again, it's a way to still make the soul relax, not to panic. Okay, go ahead.
Instead of the high and holy fragrance that left it. And the most worthy odor is that of the myrtle, for the sustenance of the holy place, namely Malchut, from which the soul emanates, is the myrtle. It also gives sustenance to the nefesh of man, as well as the high one, so it may be maintained when it is left naked, after the departure of the additional soul of Shabbat.
So what happened on Shabbat? They give you a soul. If you do the Shabbat right, they give you a soul. Now what happened? That soul have to leave. You stay empty because you felt something. And you smell adasim. Adasim in myrtle. Like those of you who are still not married, when you're going to get married, make sure that the chuppah cover with adasim. Make the old poles. I did it for one of my friends. I put adasim in all the pillow. You know, we bought so much adasim and myrtle leaves. And we attached them to the thing. So it would be adasim everywhere. When you smell adasim Motzei Shabbat, you can tell where your soul came from. I can teach you how to know where is your soul come from in the body. Forehead, finger, you will know right away. It's amazing. Shabbat. And the last verse.
At the conclusion of Shabbat, Adam wore the garments of the mentioned early Garden of Eden that emanate fragrance and perfumes in which to sustain his nefesh. Instead of the holy, supernal, and precious Ruach, the secret of the supernal splendor of Atzilut that departed from him. And the myrtle gives certain sustenance to the nefesh as well as to the high one, and thus the nefesh, Malchu, is sustained as mentioned above.
Okay, so there is a situation here, guys. I mean, the importance of Shabbat, I think we understand from the Torah and everything. Now you understand, and I didn't put all the Shabbat because the entire Vayakel is only one subject, Shabbat. The entire vehicle. Pekudei have all kind of secret, but in Pekudei there is mystical secret. Which angel do what? If you're ready to read it, don't get scared. You can read it. I love it because I love the mystical part It's scary. It tells you exactly what's going on in every moment. Which angel is it? The east, south, everything. Everything. And that's why one of the Zohar that we print is Pekudeh, the white one. It's Pekudeh. Now you know why. Because inside of it, there's all the angels. So whatever you do with it, all the secret is in this Zohar of Pekudeh. That's how powerful it is. It's good. It's good. Any question, ladies and gentlemen?
The yoke is a wheel of the airplane.
So, the yoke is a wheel of the airplane.
By the way. So okay. The airplane is spiritual airplane, right?
Yeah. Yes and no.
Yeah.
Because you don't control your own yoke. The yoke has to be put on you, and somebody else has to control you. That's why it's a yoke. Because we are the cow. The meditation that Rav Ashlag gave Rav Brandwein, and Rav Brandwein gave it to my teacher, before you do the Shema, you have to say that verse, I can tell you. And that's what he used to say. Make me like a donkey to carry everything, and like a bull to be sacrificed. That's a meditation. Like, I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to carry whatever I need to be carrying. You want to know about Ashlag meditation in mikveh? We say, Kuma Hashem, ve'yafutzo oivecha ve'yanusa v'salecha v'panecha. The verse being, come God, or raise God, and may your enemy will be exploded. You know what Rav Ashlag used to say? If I'm your enemy, please explode me right now. It's to be authentic, to be real with God. And when God says Shabbat is the most important thing, we have to take it seriously. Most important thing. All right. Thank you for the people at home. And thank you.